This is the Best of the Adam Gold Show podcast, brought to you by Coach Pete at Capital Financial Advisory Group. Visit us at capitalfinancialusa.com. This is the Adam Gold Show.
Dennis is skipping out on us for 5 days starting tomorrow. Victoria, you'll be taking over.
Yeah. One of the reasons why is the Marvel's Spider-Man game that's only been available on PlayStation is going to be available on PC starting this Friday.
See,
and I'm going part to be of me probably playing that.
Part of me wants to think you're kidding, but I know better.
I don't know. I might have to jump on Twitch. I actually set up a Twitch account, so I might have to jump on Twitch and play it.
It's all good.
Yeah.
I mean, stay young however you can.
It's either that or I'm going to go to Linville Falls, one of the two. Actually, I might do both.
Ooh.
Linville Falls is lovely.
Yeah, I know.
Absolutely
lovely. It's supposed to be like in the mid-70s, high mid-70s.
In the mountains?
Yeah.
Of course.
Well, but like at nighttime, it's
that's
supposed
why
to be in
you
the
go.
Upper 50s. I know.
Look,
it's amazing.
I understand that people love the ocean, and there's there's part of me that also loves the ocean.
I'll take mountains over the ocean.
100 times in a row. 100 times in a row. Look, they have water up there.
They do. Linville Falls. There's literally water falling. It's amazing.
Gosh. Shouts to our friends at ESPN Asheville. More power to you. All right. This is the time of the show we devote to your needs as the listener. I'll throw phone numbers out if you want to contribute to this, because actually it's a pretty good time to do it. 919-860-5326. What should we talk about at 1 o'clock? Dennis put out a poll today. It's now 1:02, so we should do that. And nobody wanted to talk about LIV versus the PGA Tour. I knew that. We had to put four things on here. Kevin Durant wants out. Nobody really wants to talk about that either. I mean, there's really not much to say other than Kevin Durant told Joe Tsai, the owner of the Brooklyn Nets, it's either me or Steve Nash and Sean Marks, the head coach and the general manager. And Joe Tsai actually went to the media yesterday and said, I support my coach and my GM. I'm like, okay.
There you go.
Apparently they're going to try and trade Kevin Durant, but I think they know that they can't. There's really no good deals out there. Anyway, at least not until mid-season when Phoenix could legitimately trade DeAndre Ayton. The Big Ten television deal essentially is the next thing, and how the Big Ten and the SEC are kind of going to switch places here. The Big Ten, where the SEC was with CBS and had the other package with ESPN, the SEC now becomes all ESPN in a couple of years, and the Big Ten will essentially take the spot of the SEC in the 3:30 window on CBS. Nothing is final, and the Big Ten made a point to say that nothing was final. But it's pretty much done that CBS is going to get a 3:30 Big Ten game. They'll get the second choice after Fox takes whatever game they want for the noon kickoff. And then NBC will take a primetime game. So NBC will have a Notre Dame game at 3, and then a primetime game from the Big Ten after that. And that should be a pretty good college football Saturday for NBC. But the item that won, and I'm very glad for this, is Serena the best ever? 47% of the vote went to Serena Williams. Almost half of you who voted for that particular subject. And I can't – look, I don't want to be cliche and say there's – a Mount Rushmore, okay? Because that is very cliched. But however you wanted to term it, in this century, since the start, since 2001, and I'll even allow you to start it in 2000, even though that's the end of the previous century. Since 2000, there is no other athlete, male or female, that comes close to what Serena Williams did. No other. Like, LeBron, awesome. Not Serena. Tiger, after 08, he had pockets where he was still the best, and he probably still captures us He definitely captures us more than any other player in golf still at this this stage. But Serena does too. And for the most part, Serena has been dominant apart from bouts with health, where she almost died, for 20-some-odd years. Like almost, 23 or 24 years of her career. She's going to be 41 at the end of September. Tiger, LeBron, Tom Brady, all look up at Serena Williams. And if you are a tennis fan, you can look at this era of tennis where Roger Federer, Rafael Nadal, and Novak Djokovic have all three dominated the sport on the men's side.
Mm-hmm.
And it's the best era in the history of men's tennis.
By far.
Serena has no equal. No equal. There's no debate who the dominant player of this era was. And I know what the argument would be, because I heard that during the Tiger era in golf. Well, there's nobody competing with him. Bull! There's plenty of players competing with him. And there were plenty of players threatening Serena, and she beat them all off with a stick. Including her own sister. Including the player that so many wanted to be the challenger in Maria Sharapova. And she absolutely destroyed Sharapova basically every time they met. Serena versus Maria, 20 times Serena won, twice Maria won. Maria won two of their first, I think, 8 or 9 meetings. Never won in a Grand Slam event. Right? Serena was, I think, eight. No, she did one. Wimbledon. Won the Wimbledon final. Was the second time they had ever met. And then Serena won the next 8 times they met in a Grand Slam. 48 total sets. Serena won 41. I mean, utter annihilation. The only person that she didn't have more Grand Slam titles against than was Margaret Court, who played in a completely different era.
Yeah.
And I'm not taking anything away from Margaret Court, but Serena was the greatest player in the history of, probably in the history of tennis, let alone male or female. And it's okay to admit that.
Yeah.
So, by the way, she's on the cover of Vogue magazine. And it'd probably be worth picking up and maybe framing.
If we look at the top athletes of this century, we see a lot of them either on the tail end of their careers or have left. So if you look at, obviously you mentioned Serena phasing out. Tom Brady's on the last legs of his career. LeBron James, the last legs of his career. Now, they might be around for another 2-3 years. Who knows?
Yeah.
But nevertheless, They're almost done. Tiger Woods, same thing. Which you can argue those are the top four athletes of this century.
I think they are. I think that the conversation ends with those four.
Yeah. But these athletes are phasing out right now. And it's this new crop of stars that are now going to be taking over the sports landscape. Much like how, let's say, the 20 years prior to this century, you look at the top athletes of for example, Joe Montana or Magic Johnson, Michael Jordan, they phased out and these other athletes came in.
And, you know, what's interesting about those athletes is that they played normal length careers.
Yeah.
Tom Brady has played an abnormal length career.
Sure.
That's probably why he's probably the closest to Serena, because she has also played an abnormally long time.
The longevity is,
like,
speaks for itself.
It would be one thing. Roger Federer is nearly 40. He still, when he's healthy, he still plays, and he still plays at a high level. Nadal is in his mid to late 30s. Djokovic is in his mid 30s. That's pretty old as tennis players go. It's not crazy. Connors played till he was 40, basically. The other guys are pretty, the other top players in history are pretty much done by their early to mid 30s. But on the women's side, it is absolutely unusual to play beyond age 30, to be dominant beyond age 30.
You see women's tennis players fizzle out at 26, 27.
Well, I mean, I'm not a doctor, but women mature, physically mature faster, and then their bodies go through changes. They and look, Serena gave birth how many years ago? Five years ago, something like that, whatever it is. And then she won the Australian Open. Like, I know she won the Australian Open while pregnant.
Maybe.
I think she won the Australian Open while pregnant, like at the beginning of her pregnancy, which, yeah, okay, that's good. Federer never did that.
No.
Never mind. It's a joke. Their bodies go through changes, and it's hard to maintain your athleticism and what you need to compete at that level against women who are 20, 21, 22, 23, who are in their physical athletic primes. It's an incredible part of why Serena was so great, is so great. I hope she's going to play the U.S. Open. I think that'll be it. And then my guess is if she ever plays Wimbledon again, it'll be a one-off. It'll be like, they'll let me in, so I'll play. And why not? Serena should be able to play whenever she wants. Adam Gold here from my man, Coach Pete DeRuiter with the Capital Financial Advisory Group. We are talking retirement. All right, Coach, simple. When do we start tax planning in retirement?
We should start as soon as possible because here's one thing, Adam. Taxes are not going away.
Right.
And so the game here is we know the rules. A lot of people want to ignore the rules or act like they aren't familiar with them, but the IRS knows the rules. And so when we get to retirement, they're going to reach in and start taking some of their money out of your accounts. So the secret here is to put a force field around as much as possible by strategically moving some of our money to Roth IRA or some of the other vehicles that aren't taxed, like special life insurance policies. You can borrow against your money there and never have to pay tax on your money that you build up inside your cash value. So there are a lot of strategies here. The one strategy that does not work is ignoring it. So let's make sure to not ignore it. The next 10 people will do for you your very own tax and retirement plan that'll help you minimize taxation all the way through retirement.
800-661-7383. All you got is call, or you can text Adam to 21000 for Coach Pete DeRuiter. North Carolina plays in week zero. I'm not a fan of calling anything week zero. It's week one. Some teams play in week two. But if there are games, it's week one. But that's just semantics. Ross Martin, Inside Carolina, wrote about quarterbacks. We're going to talk about quarterbacks. But let's talk about the Tar Heels, who not only have the game against FAMU to start, but they got a trip to App, I guess, in what other people are calling in week one, that I would just say, why? That ain't going to be fun. It could be fun, but it's probably a 50-50 proposition. How you doing, man?
What's up, Adam? I'm good, man. We're deep into training camp now, so it's full force. UNC's less than 3 weeks away from the big week zero matchup against Florida A&M, and we're ready to go.
It's 2 weeks from Saturday against FAMU.
Yep.
I actually want to start with the expectations. Mack Brown has a unique way of just seeming like none of this has surprised him, and I wonder if that's more, you know, for us as opposed to how he reacts around the players, because he never seemed fazed by their struggles last year. You know, pick preseason top 10. They got Sam Howell, who was preseason, you know, Heisman Trophy favorite and all of that stuff. And it obviously didn't go well. And, you know, outwardly, he didn't seem fazed. What do you attribute that to, and do you buy it?
I mean, I don't know if I'd even agree with that. I mean, I think going into Virginia Tech, their expectations were so high, and then immediately they got hit in the mouth. And he looked fazed on TV there, if you remember that Virginia Tech game.
In that game, yes.
In Blacksburg. But then overall, I mean, I think they just started to realize internally they had lost a lot. You know, they didn't have Dyami Brown or Daz Newsome. They didn't have Michael Carter and Javonte Williams. So they were really missing so many playmakers, and that really affected what they could do in offense. And that became very clear when Sam Howell became the number two rusher for UNC. They had to run him more, and you know, they lost some close games. But, yeah, they got beat, and that's because they lost so much talent. And so it was really a look in the mirror in the offseason. They made a couple coaching changes. They made a big change on the defensive side of the ball. bringing in Chizik, removing Jay Bateman and bringing in Charlton Warren for the secondary. And they had a late change at offensive line. So, yeah, I mean, I think Mac has kind of stepped back and looked at himself, looked at his coaching staff. And, you know, there's no hype this year. I think there's a little – there's some optimism within the program. I think they like what they have. But from the outside, it doesn't seem like there's too much hype on this team. And a lot of that's because of the quarterback and just the question marks there and what they have lost and just a lot of unknowns, I think. But in my opinion, I think they're going to be good. I don't know if they're going to be great, but they have a chance to be okay if the quarterback is kind of where it needs to be, you know, above average guy who can go up and win you a couple games.
Ross Martin from Inside Carolina is joining us here. And I do want to point out, you're 100% correct that on TV, Mac Brown did look shook in that Virginia Tech game.
Yeah.
And I think primarily it's because he knew that Virginia Tech wasn't that good, right? That, like,
yeah,
you could understand if you got it taken to you by a team that was legitimately good. But Virginia Tech was not that. So, and
they lost to Georgia Tech.
Yeah.
A horrible Georgia Tech team.
Yeah.
And they got, you know, beat by Florida State,
right,
team they should have beat. You know, last year was a year to win the Coastal. They had mm-hmm. a chance to win beat Pitt. I mean, that game came down to the end. And, of course, the meltdown against State was awful. So you look at those and you're like, that team could have maybe, you know, won two or three of those. And then you're looking at a team that's 8-4, 8-5 instead of 6-7. So, yeah, I mean, they were not good enough to win those games. They didn't win them. But I think they were so close and just weren't able to close. And so that's kind of, you know, the big mm-hmm. coaching point of, you know, closing games and the extra inch on stuff.
Ross Martin from Inside Carolina with us here. All right, quarterback, Drake May, Jacoby Criswell. They're really two different style quarterbacks. I think Mac alluded to the fact that they could use two. He doesn't want to use two. He wants one to take over. He said, I think yesterday or the day before, that he wants to be able to name one the final Sunday of the season and talk about it at the press conference before they head to take on Florida A&M. What's your read on where we are at this stage?
Yeah, well, they closed practice to the media yesterday. We were supposed to be in there for about an hour to watch the team and have kind of a better idea of what the depth chart was looking like and maybe get a better look at how they're rolling out this quarterback. So I don't know if there's something fishy going on with that, but they closed practice. We haven't really got a chance to look at them since the first day. But, you know, internally, from what I've heard talking to some people and talking to people around the program, it seems like it's going to be Drake May. But they haven't made any indication that's going to be it from the outside. I think they like both of them. I think going into the season, into the spring, they like both of them. They felt confident with what they had. They didn't go to the transfer portal. So they like both, and I think it's a tough decision. They always talk about Jacoby's arm talent mm-hmm. and, you know, how he can make all the throws. And he was Phil Longo's recruit. He was the guy he kind of recruited for 4 years before UNC, then at UNC. But then Drake May's got the stereotypical, kind of prototypical body, 6'4", can run, you know, looks like an NFL quarterback in terms of his body. So they like both. It's going to be who can kind of, you know, get that third down, get that fourth down, who can make the right decision. I think it's leaning towards Drake May, and I kind of told some of our subscribers in Inside Carolina about that yesterday. But the fact that it's going down to the Sunday or Monday before the opener is a little longer than I thought it would take. I would think you would announce it maybe this weekend, and then kind of give that player a full 2 weeks as the guy who gets all the snaps. Because you want that. You want the guy mm-hmm. to be the guy and to, you know, kind of get control of that offense and then get every first-team rep. So the fact that it's taking a little longer, I don't know if they've already made a decision or what, but I think it's close. And if I was to – if it was the game was going to be tomorrow, I think it would be Drake May, but I'm not 100% on that.
There, you mentioned at the beginning of this that there were new coaches, and then I think a lot of people talk about Gene Chizik on the defensive side of the ball. But could you argue that Jack Bicknell, as an offensive line coach, is the most important addition to their staff?
I mean, I would probably say it's Chizik, but I think O-line is so critical, especially with a new quarterback, with some new running backs, and that's been a issue the last 3 years. Under Mac Brown is that Sam Howell was always under pressure.
Mm-hmm.
He was sacked so many times every year. And you kind of look back at the Sam Howell era and is tarnished by by a lack of pass protection and by just being chased around, hit, and you know, it kind of sucks looking back at what Sam Howell could have been if he was protected and had everything around him that would make him, you know, be the type of player that we thought he could be. So, it's, you know, to wait and see. We haven't seen Jack McNeil coach one game, but seems like a very experienced guy. Seems like a guy from the NFL. He's teaching some new techniques. They're very focused on a different type of pass protection where you kind of go out and you know, attack the defensive lineman instead of backing up as much. And you kind of build that little window around the quarterback to protect him. So there's some different things. They did lose three starters, two of which were drafted by the New York Giants. So they brought in a transfer from Miami at center. They've got some young guys. They have kind of two returning starters. So that's a huge thing, man. It helps a lot to have a great offensive line, experienced offensive line, not only for the running game, but just to give some comfort to the quarterback. So, yeah, behind Chizik, I think McNeil's huge. And I think if he can make that O-line a little bit better and it can be less of an issue, that's going to help the new quarterback feel more comfortable, obviously.
I actually thought that their offensive line, and I think this is not about an offensive line coach, but I thought on the line of scrimmage was, to me, the area where I know we talk about what running backs and wide receivers so much. I thought the line of scrimmage was really where it all kind of unraveled for UNC last year. They just weren't good enough on either side of the ball. Where are they, do you think, on the offensive and defensive lines? I mean, I realize we haven't played anything yet, but in terms of the confidence level from the coaching staff, where do you think they are?
I'll just start with defensive line since we haven't touched on them yet. I think that group's going to be great. I hate to be hyperbolic, but
it's fine.
They always talk about the two deep and the three deep, and, you know, we can go three deep at defensive end. It's all BS in preseason.
Right.
But I think this year UNC has a legitimate two deep. I think there's some names that you'll recognize. Miles Murphy, Raymond Vohasek, Des Evans was a big recruit. There's all these names. They've been stacking 4- and 5-star recruits for 3 to 4 years now. Javari Ritzy is a North Carolina guy. Keyshawn Silvers over there from Eastern North Carolina. They have all these names who haven't done much yet, but they're becoming, you know, redshirt freshmen, sophomores, juniors. I think this is a year that group can be special if they kind of put it together. I think Javari Ritzy and Miles Murphy are going to have excellent seasons. I think the transfer from Virginia, Noah Taylor, who kind of plays a rush end jack position, has a chance to be really, I mean, he's a fifth-year guy, so he has a chance to be really good as a pass rusher. I feel confident in the defensive line, probably more than any position for UNC, and I think that can be huge. Obviously, the game's won in the trenches, all the cliches there. Offensive line, look, I don't know. Austin Richards has been the left tackle for 3 years now, but they haven't been that great. So, like, you bring back a three-year starter, but if your three-year starter is not that great, you know, how good is he? So I think they really like Corey Gaynor at center. I think they have a chance to be pretty good. Zach Rice is a name to watch, a true freshman 5-star from Virginia. You know, he has a chance to start at either guard or tackle. So there's some things to like, but I'm not going to sit here and crown this O-line that hasn't really been anything
right
the last 3 years. Other than a really good run offense. They've had some great run offenses, rushing offenses, but maybe that's a lot because they had Javonte Williams and Michael Carter for 2 or 3 years back then.
And those two guys should both be starting in the NFL this year. And I love both. They're very different players. As a recovering Jets fan, I'm looking forward to seeing what Michael Carter can do with the Jets. And hopefully he'll get out of there and continue his career with a team that's competent. Ross Martin, Inside Carolina, joining us. All right, I waited too long to talk about Josh Downs, but just an absolute dynamic player, preseason, first team All-ACC. Does he remind you of any former Tar Heels?
Man, I mean, he's a much better Daz Newsome. Let me think. I mean, like, he's kind of like a Ryan Switzer.
Mm.
I think he's a slightly more shifty, athletic, maybe can take the ball a little quicker, straight line speed than Switzer. And we all know how good Switzer was.
Yep.
Josh Downs broke Switzer's receptions record last year. He had 101. But Switzer, man, he was so shifty in space. I think Josh Downs just has a little more dynamic athleticism, a little bit more leaping ability, a little bit more speed, straight line. So he's a little bit better Ryan Switzer. And Ryan Switzer was fantastic But, you know, love the guy. He had tons of injuries in the NFL that really hurt his ability to crack an NFL roster. I think Josh Downs has a chance to be kind of, you know, a second round, third round, maybe even a first round pick, depending on how the season goes. So he is dynamic. They lost Antoine Green, the wide receiver. He'll be out for the first four games, we think, with an upper body injury that he happened on Saturday. So they're thin at wide receiver. They do have a potential All-American wide receiver. But really, what's behind Josh Downs is going to determine how good this offense can be. They have some names. Andre Green is one, a freshman. Andre Green, four-star guy, Virginia. He's a name to know. I think he's going to be a complete stud, too. So Josh Downs, Andre Green, there are some guys that haven't done much, but J.J. Jones, Kobe Paysauer, those kind of guys. But, yeah, Josh Downs, fantastic. He's kind of must-watch TV. As long as that quarterback position is solidified and confident, I think he'll have another fantastic season. But the defense is going to be cued in on him. But they were cued in on him last year, too.
Yep.
And he still had 101 catches and 13-something 100 yards.
Incredible. With Sam Howell had no time to throw. He managed to complete 101 passes to Josh Downs. Ross Martin, Inside Carolina. I thank you very much for your time. Check out all their stuff at InsideCarolina.com, and we'll talk to you very soon before the opener.
Sounds good, Adam. Appreciate it.
Take care. Ross Martin here on The Adam Gold Show. We only had to put one on the board. Let's go.
And now your halftime entertainment.
All right, as I mentioned earlier, since I'm not going to be here the rest of the week, I have to bring it up now.
That's fine. You do what you want. Halftime is your time to enlighten us with all things superhero and comic book.
And video game.
And video game.
And also just, you know, fun. Well,
we should just call it the video game comic book Marvel Universe segment. That's fine.
That.
I have no problem with it.
I'm down for that. I'm down for that.
Why not? We should...
Speaking
it's
of
a sponsorship
Marvel,
opportunity,
it could be. Hit me up, DC Comics or whomever.
Mm-hmm.
All right. So as I mentioned earlier, Marvel's Spider-Man, the remastered version that's only been available on PlayStation.
It's a video game now.
It's a video game. Yes, okay. Is coming to PC this Friday. Now, from what I've seen, you have to have a Windows operating system. So apparently, iOS isn't going to work. Which
that's
upsets
Apple.
Me.
Apple
yes,
is
Apple.
iOS.
Yes. Okay. So, which upsets me because I have a brand new Mac laptop. But it's okay. My PC previously, my HP laptop, should work fine for this. I'm going to clear out all the storage, clear out everything else so I can play this game. Nevertheless, it is coming out this Friday, and I'm very much excited about this because, again, as I've mentioned in previous shows, how games... A lot of them have been exclusive to certain consoles. Mm-hmm. Like Nintendo has Switch. You can only play those games there. Sony has some of their properties. Xbox/Microsoft has some of their properties as well. So it's hard to play these games on different platforms. So the fact that this game's going to be available on a second platform excites me, Adam. And I love the fact that we have access to these things. I don't have to pay hundreds of dollars just to get a PlayStation just so I can play this game.
Right.
It's not, you know, I want to pay my $60, play the game, and that's it. Why is that got to be so hard?
Totally understand.
Why does it have to be so hard?
I don't know.
Why can't Fox and ESPN come to a deal to make us have the Big Ten ACC Challenge continuing forward after a couple seasons? Why can't we make this happen? Why can't we all be happy?
I'm with you. We should all be. I have a question for you.
Okay.
So you have multiple systems. Right, you have a.
Oh, I have just in terms of gaming systems, I have an Xbox.
Right, but you also have a PC.
Well, I have a laptop, yeah, but just recently got a Mac laptop because I do a lot of video editing for Culture State.
Right, right.
So I needed something to have a little bit better of a processor for the video, so I got a new Mac.
What is the best gaming system to play on? What is the difference between an Xbox and a PlayStation? PS5 now is the new one, right?
Yes, PS5 being the newest one. A lot of the biggest difference actually comes in what's included with the gaming system, not the systems themselves. Now, some people will say that
the better... So is there any differences? Are games better on a PS5 than an Xbox?
Some people will say that PS5's graphics are better.
Okay.
So some people will say that, but...
Do I care about those people?
You don't have to.
I'm just...
It's your choice.
Is it a certain type of person? That says that?
Yes. Okay. There are certain types of people. There are.
Do Xbox people look down upon PlayStation people?
Yes, and vice versa.
Okay.
and vice
versa. What about Nintendo Wii people? Oh. Is that that's still a thing, is it?
The Wii exists. Oh, it does? I'll just say that.
Yeah.
It exists.
It's very basic, isn't it?
Extremely.
Yeah. That's why it spoke to me.
Yeah. Very, very basic. Yeah. Now, some people will say that PC gaming is actually the best route to go. Either way, it's nice to see this stuff come up on different platforms.
Okay.
But I will say, with Xbox, though, it's what you get with Xbox Game Pass, the availability of games, some games being free by just having a Game Pass membership, things along those lines.
Gotcha.
All the PlayStation people are probably mad at me right now, which is totally fine. Speaking of the world of gaming, but also in the world of film.
Film.
Yes. We are having ourselves a live-action Pac-Man movie. It's in development.
So, like, a movie that is simply Pac-Man.
It's Pac-Man live-action. Much like how recently we've had a...
Who's going to play Pac-Man?
I don't know. We haven't announced it yet. The movies. I keep wanting to say game. The movie's in development. So, much like how they had a live-action, and now I've had two live-action Sonic the Hedgehog movies... We are now having ourselves a live-action Pac-Man movie. Now, Pac-Man has shown up in different forms. He was in the Wreck-It Ralph movie that came out about 10 years ago. We've seen him, Pac-Man, have a very, very brief appearance in Guardians of the Galaxy Volume 2.
Is there a Ms. Pac-Man?
In the movies?
Is Pac-Man married?
I would hope so. Maybe that's the story. Maybe it's a story about how Pac-Man meets Ms. Pac-Man, avoiding ghosts and staying hungry.
Yeah. Eating all that the healthy fruits.
Yes, eating the cherries. But you know what? Here's the thing. Maybe they go on a date. They grab a pretzel. Maybe they go get some pizza.
If that's right. You could
maybe
do that.
That's what they
both
do.
Of that. Carb up.
Yeah, exactly. Carb up. Because you're being chased by ghosts. Anyway, it's happening, and I'm excited.
I apologize for all of this. I'm just here to make this... like, dreadful for you.
I know, and it's fun, and I love it. Speaking of Sonic the Hedgehog movie, we have a release date for Sonic Movie 3, December 20th, 2024.
What?
Yeah.
Summer of 20, what?
December 20, 2024. Sonic Movie 3.
December 20, 2024. We are more than 2 years out from this? And
yeah.
It's just Sonic movie?
Well, it's the third one.
Okay.
Second one just came out recently.
Did it?
I mean, it's the...
What is it?
What do you mean?
What is Sonic movie? What is the movie?
It's Sonic the Hedgehog, the movie.
Oh, the Sonic, okay.
Yeah, but they just hashtags.
When
Sonic
you said
movie.
You didn't say the Hedgehog, I thought it was a different movie.
No, Sonic the Hedgehog.
Okay,
sorry.
I apologize.
Some people understand what I'm
saying.
Some
people do. I apparently not in that group.
It's fine. Speaking of Sonic the Hedgehog... There's a free game out there that's actually pretty popular. It's called Fall Guys.
Okay.
Basically, these characters, they look like Mike and Ike candies, essentially. They call them beans, but they look like Mike and Ike candies. And you ever seen the movie, the TV show, like Wipeout, I think is what it's called?
No, I mean, you could have answered your own question there.
Sure.
Because it wouldn't have mattered what the TV show was.
Sure.
Have you ever seen the TV show? Why am I asking you this question, Gold?
Okay, if it's not
the answer
MASH
is no.
Or Bonanza.
No, it's not MASH. Don't you stop with the Bonanza. MASH, another story. Bonanza? Are you kidding me? Bonanza.
Hey, some people watch Bonanza.
Stop. Bonanza.
Some people watch Bonanza.
Petticoat Junction.
So Fall Guys is a free game. Again, where you're just basically, they look like little Mike and I candies. You're just basically going through an obstacle course, kind of like, let's say, American Ninja Warrior. You probably know what that
is. I know what that is, yeah.
Okay, so basically you're going through an obstacle course. You start with 60 players. It's all online live. And then eventually you whittle it down to one winner. But now they're doing a crossover with Sonic the Hedgehog.
Oh, no.
Yeah, so basically it's kind of like with Fortnite and stuff where you have the skins and outfits that you can wear. So you can basically look like Sonic or Tails. You can look like Sonic. You can look like Knuckles, Tails.
What is Knuckles? What animal is Knuckles?
I think Knuckles was a fox, remember?
Oh, very nice. Yeah. That's a good animal to look like.
Or Tails.
Foxes look very regal to me.
Okay.
Because they wear tweed.
I don't know how to respond to that.
They do. I mean, if you look at any of the... what are they called? The Peter Rabbits. Isn't there a fox in Peter? Never mind. I think there's a fox in Peter Rabbit.
Okay.
I don't know.
I'm just going to leave that.
Yeah.
Just going to leave that right there. Also, final thing. Apparently, we're going to have a Cobra Kai Season 5 coming to Netflix.
Okay.
Apparently, people love that show.
They do.
I have not watched it.
It's the most downloaded.
It's one of the biggest shows on Netflix. Apparently, it is legit fantastic. I have yet to watch it, though.
I can't vouch for it being legit fantastic. I do know that my son watched all of them.
Oh, okay. Good for him.
And they make me angry. Seriously. They make me angry. It's just two dojos. They hate each other.
Yeah.
And they kick each other in the face.
Okay.
And I want to kick all of them in the face. Every single last one of them. But shouts to Ralph Macchio for still doing it.
Yeah. Props.
Unbelievable.
Props to him. Oh, also, one final thing here. I should throw this one in. Since I know you love television. Peacemaker Season 2 will begin filming in 2023.
Really? What is that? I have no idea what these are. I'm sure that I'm not the only one in the audience that has no idea what they are. Victoria's
sure
behind you going, I don't know what that is either.
Oh, come on, Victoria. You're killing me.
What is Peacemaker?
All right. Gosh, Victoria. Back me up here, Lee. Jeez, come on. So Peacemaker is a spinoff of the Suicide Squad movie that James Gunn did for DC Warner Brothers, and it's an HBO Max exclusive.
Okay. Gotcha.
So it's second season. First season was actually really, really good. Peacemaker is a very, very like D-list DC Comics character, but the series was fun.
Oh,
it was actually really
good. I should have realized that there was some connection to a comic book.
Yes.
Oh, that's fine. I'm not knocking it. It's just
John Cena plays Peacemaker.
Oh, very. I like John Cena.
There you go.
He does great work in commercials. He's very funny, I think.
Yeah.
Dry comedic actor.
He did very good, I will say, in Peacemaker. Mm-hmm. Second season begins filming in 2023.
Very nice. Did Jughead ever have, was there ever a Jughead movie?
Jughead movie, no. But Riverdale was a TV show on the CW.
Should be.
Yeah. It's actually, they don't do like the comedic bit with it. They actually make it like.
They did a serious movie about Riverdale?
Huh? No. It was like a serious show. Like it kind of got a little dark from my understanding. But people loved Riverdale.
Look, who knows? Reggie and Archie, I mean, they might have been.
Betty and Veronica were there?
Yeah, it could have been all sorts of messy. I don't know what Jughead was doing there, but Mr. Weatherby? Was Mr. Weatherby in there?
I don't know. I didn't watch the show.
Yeah. He's the teacher.
There you go. That's all I got for you today.
All right. I completely ruined that segment, but that's all right. when we come back, we're going to place our bets. We're doing Englewood, California today, right?
That is correct. SoFi Stadium, home of the Rams.
Coming up at 2:30. So it's the Rams, not the Chargers.
Correct.
I wonder how it will change when we do the Chargers at SoFi Stadium, since there's a lot more leg room, a lot more room to stretch out at Chargers games. Although the Chargers should be good.
I don't know. This season, it should be fun.
Both teams will be good. Although there's some questions with Matthew Stafford's elbow. Speaking of elbows, real quick before I forget to mention this. You tell me if this sounds routine to you.
Okay.
Jason Kelce, center for the Philadelphia Eagles.
Is he hurt?
Well, he had what they're calling routine elbow surgery.
Okay.
Is there such a thing as routine elbow surgery?
Sure.
I don't know, man.
For James Andrews.
For James Andrews, when you're having Tommy John surgery, you're out for a year.
Yeah.
More, actually. I just don't understand elbow surgery as routine.
I'm wondering if it's similar to like an arthroscopy like on your knee. I've had an arthroscopy on my knee before.
Right.
And just to kind of clear some stuff out. And
that's what they say.
Routine.
It's clearing out.
Yeah.
And little cleanup.
In 2 weeks, I felt great.
Little vacuum.
Haven't had pain in my knee since.
Excellent. Yeah. Excellent.
That was 12 years ago, I think.
Is it really? What
Maybe
caused
10?
The injury?
Sports.
Sports. That happens. That happens. All right, let's see if we can't place bets and do well.
Place your bets. Place your bets. Here we are. I bet you slice into the woods $100.
Gambling is illegal at Bushwood, sir, and I never slide.
Death! Okay, you can owe me. I owe you nothing.
All right, talk to me. Did you had you do, by the way?
+120 yesterday. I missed my five-leg parlay with Major League Baseball. But Shohei Ohtani did not play yesterday, so no action with that. But my English Championship soccer match, I did hit on the draw, +220.
Yeah, see, I wanted to go with you, but...
And I told you to do it.
You did?
Yeah.
You did, and I willingly take the L.
Yeah.
But good result for West Brom there to get a draw with Watford. And now Watford and Burnley coming up on Friday. Big match. I mean... The top two automatically go up in the championship, and then 3-4 ultimately, actually 3-6 play in. So all you got to do is finish in the top two, and that's good. But that's those are probably the two best teams, Watford and Burnley, who want to get who want to move up. I haven't even seen Norwich. I don't know if Norwich is any good. They stunk last year.
Maybe. I don't know. Well, my first bet today. Oh, and I did. Yeah, so I was +120 yesterday, which puts me at only a -805. This is the best I've been since we started this.
Look at you.
Which we all started with even.
Good for you.
At one point, I was a -2700.
Yes, you were. Oh, you were way down there.
Way down there.
I will say that Hayes Permars killed me.
Probably,
but that's mine. I'm blaming it on Hayes.
You know, I'm gonna take the Orioles today. Money line over the Blue Jays, +135.
Very nice, very nice.
I watched We Own This City, so a very Baltimore thing today.
Oh, okay. Look, the Orioles are one of the great stories in baseball this year. Like, I don't think they're all that great, but I think we're proving that you don't have to be great if you play well.
Yeah.
Like, they're just figuring out a way. Like, I don't even think that they don't even have all the guys that are going to be part of whatever the Oriole resurgence looks like. Mm-hmm. They still have a ton of young players that have not yet gotten there. So that's good. All right. Let's go with to Montreal, the ATP Tour stop, U.S. Open tune-up, whatever it's called.
Okay.
Gael Monfils, -4 games at +145.
Okay.
Forget who he's playing. Somebody named Gonzalez, I think. But we'll go Gael Monfils, who's one of the most entertaining players to watch. So I met the U.S. Open a couple of years ago, like in the fourth set, asking for somebody to bring him a can of Coca-Cola.
Oh, sounds delicious.
Well, I mean, he was looking for a major sugar rush at that point. That's what he was looking for. He didn't want electrolytes. He wanted straight sugar or high fructose corn syrup. That's what he
Very
wanted.
Very nice. All right, I'm going to go Saturday. I'm going to do a little futures bet here. Saturday, Premier Lacrosse League. Give me the Archers over the Chaos and Chrome over the Cannons, +125.
Very nice. Very nice. I wasn't paying any attention to that.
I wouldn't expect you to.
All right. I'm going to do a 4-player parlay in the WTA Tour stop in Toronto.
Of course.
Okay. Give me Naomi Osaka over Kaya Kanepi. You're going to have to tell me what this is worth. Belinda Bencic over Teresa Martinkova. She's at -335. I want Maria Sakkari over Sloane Stephens. This is a tough one because I love Sloane Stephens at -265.
Okay.
Jessica Pegula over Asia Muhammad. So that's my 4-player parlay.
Let's see here. I'm not seeing. Oh, there's Pegula. +160.
That's all that is?
Yeah, well, they're heavy favorites.
Is all plus? Well, I'll take +160 then.
Yeah, they're all heavy favorites. Like, Pegula's a -600.
I know.
Sakari's a minus 320.
Plus 160.
Benchitz is minus 370.
That's
Osako
terrible.
Has the worst odds at minus 295.
All right.
Yeah, you're going all this.
I couldn't find Serena.
Stuff. That's, yeah, makes sense.
Serena had the day off?
I guess.
Good for Serena.
Yeah.
She deserves a day
she
off.
She does deserve a day off.
All right, your last bet.
All right, Norwich is playing Birmingham.
Norwich.
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 Come
Sorry.
On.
Norwich. My bad.
I'm such a soccer ass at this point. I'm just.
You said it.
Just I'm such a soccer ass.
Norwich versus Birmingham.
Right.
Give me Norwich minus a goal and a half at plus 130.
Josh Sargent. He needs to get on it. All right. Give me the Boston Red Sox at home over the Atlanta Braves plus 134.
All right.
Rich Hill against Charlie Morton in that one. They will play at 7 o'clock, 7:10.
This is the Adam Gold Show.
Finding the perfect suit can seem impossible, but finding one that's perfect for you is easy with Indochino. Choose your design and custom details. Then submit your measurements online or get measured in-store for a custom made-for-you fit at an incredible price. And shop their new fall collection for seasonal styles. Find your perfect suit with Indochino. Get $50 off any purchase of $399 or more with promo code FALLUPDATE at Indochino.com. That's INDOCHINO.com, promo code FALLUPDATE.